know that Shasta College and Simpson University have Veterans Resource Centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 642.
Everybody calls us.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live in Denver, Colorado, you've joined the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with joining the program today. If you want to send me a message, tell me anything, ask me anything, a TMA or AMA, the text line is always open, 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. Then do me a favor, engage with me on social media, whether it's X, Facebook, or Instagram, they're all at Michael D. Brown, at Michael D. Brown. Let's get the elephant in the room out of the way to begin with. The Supreme Court yesterday handed down a decision, and the President of the United States decided to have, well, let's just put it this way. He had a hissy fit.
I have very effectively utilized tariffs over the past year to make America great again. Our stock market has just recently broken 50,000 on the Dow, and simultaneously, and even more amazingly, broken 7,000 on the S&P, two numbers that everybody thought upon our landslide election victory could not be attained. Think of that. Nobody thought it was possible to do it within 4 years, and we did it in 1 year. They said, you'll never be able. You'll go back and you read the geniuses, read their statements, all of the Nobel Prize winners in economics. They said, no, you couldn't do it in 4 years. Well, we didn't do it in 4 years. We did it in 1 year. We broke every record in the book, and we're continuing to do so. Tariffs have likewise been used to end 5 of the 8 wars that I settled. I settled 8 wars, whether you like it or not, including India, Pakistan, big ones, nuclear, could have been nuclear. Prime Minister of Pakistan said, yeah.
And he goes on to talk about how he said, you know, he's resolved 8 wars. All right. Then he gets mad.
I can do anything I want with IEEPA. Anything. I just can't charge anybody for it. I can license. I just can't charge them. It's ridiculous. But it's okay because we have other ways, numerous other ways.
And right there, that's all he should have done. Was just come out and said, you know, I don't like what the Supreme Court said yesterday, and there are other things that I can do, and I'm going to do those. But he had to get personal. And I know he can't help himself. This is just what his personality is. But it bothers me that he's doing it in terms of the United States Supreme Court, which whether you agree with, I don't always agree with them as a whole. And there are certain times when I vociferously disagree with them individually. But I recognize that they're doing their job.
Being fools and lapdogs for the rhinos and the radical left Democrats.
Yeah, I'm not really sure they are. They're making decisions based upon what the law says. So, yesterday the Supreme Court handed down what it truly is one of the most consequential trade law decisions in a generation. And the media, bless their little hearts, had done what they always do. They melted down. They declared that the Trump presidency is over. they proclaim that free trade has been restored to the right, to its, you know, rightful glory. Democrats are dancing in the aisles. The New York Times is treating this like, I don't know, Victory in Europe Day, VE Day. There's just one problem with that narrative. It's wrong. And I want to explain why. And I promise you that by the end of this segment, you're going to have a better grasp of what actually happened yesterday than probably 90% of the people out there breathlessly reporting about it. Because the bottom line is this. The Supreme Court did not say the president can't impose tariffs. It said he used the wrong statute. Now, that's a legal distinction that matters enormously, and the administration knew that this was coming. So let's start with the basics, because the headlines are doing their usual bang-up job of just burying the lead. The case is called Learning Resources, Inc. versus Trump. Chief Justice Roberts wrote the opinion, 6-3 majority opinion, and the question presented, and I'm quoting directly from the opinion's first sentence, was simply this. We decide whether the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, that's what you hear referred to as IEPA, we decide whether the International Emergency Economic Powers Act authorizes the president to impose tariffs, period. That's it. The court said, that's it, all. And the answer to that question was no, it does not. That's it. That's really the entire holding. IEPA, which is a 1977 emergency statute, doesn't authorize tariffs. Full stop. Now, here's what the ruling did not say. It did not say that tariffs are unconstitutional. It did not say the president has no authority to impose tariffs. It did not say Congress can't delegate tariff authority to the president. It did not say the trade deficit is not a legitimate concern for all of us. It said, narrowly and very specifically, that this particular statute, IEPA, wasn't the right car to be driving. It wasn't the right vehicle to do what he did. He got in the wrong car. At the car rental lot, he just got into the wrong car. Now, Chief Justice Roberts noted that IEPA's list of authorized presidential powers, and it is a long list, includes the ability to investigate, block, regulate, direct, compel, nullify, void, prevent, or prohibit transactions involving imports and exports. You notice what's conspicuously absent from that list? The words tariff or duty. And so the court, applying what it called the major questions doctrine, says that if Congress wanted to hand the president the extraordinary power to unilaterally impose tariffs of unlimited scope or unlimited duration, it had to say so explicitly. It didn't. Case closed on this statute. Not on all the other statutes, but on this. Now remember, the court said that if Congress wanted to hand the president the extraordinary power to unilaterally impose tariffs of unlimited scope and duration, it had to say so explicitly. And that in this statute, it didn't say that. So here's something you may not have noticed in the coverage. This was not a left-right split among the court. It wasn't even close. The majority was Roberts, Sotomayor, Kagan, Gorsuch, Barrett, and Jackson. Six justices that span the ideological spectrum. The dissenters, the three that said Trump could use IEPA for tariffs, were Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh. So let that sink in for a moment. Three of the most conservative justices on the court dissented and would have upheld the tariffs. Meanwhile, the three liberal justices joined the majority, not because they loved tariffs, because they reached the same statutory conclusion, but through different reasoning. Justice Kagan, writing for herself and the other two liberals, was almost blunt about it. She said, you don't even need the major questions doctrine to get here. Ordinary statutory interpretation gets you to the same place. IEPA just does not mention tariffs in the story. But Kavanaugh's dissent is probably the most important part of the ruling that nobody's talking about. So I want to spend some serious time on Justice Kavanaugh's dissent, because it might be the single most important thing that was written yesterday, and I bet money that 95% of the people covering the story haven't even bothered to read it. Kavanaugh disagreed with the majority, but then he did something really fascinating. He said, and again, I'm paraphrasing closely, that even though he firmly disagrees with the court's holding, writing, quote, The decision might not substantially constrain a president's ability to order tariffs going forward. Why? Because in Kavanaugh's words, numerous other federal statutes authorize the president to impose tariffs and might justify most, if not all, of the tariffs at issue in this case, albeit perhaps with a few additional procedural steps that IEEPA, as an emergency statute, does not require. And then you know what he did next? Justice Kavanaugh went on to list them. He literally handed the Trump administration a roadmap. So let's go through what that roadmap is. You're going to learn more about this case today and why, again, the cabal is trying to drive you a different direction than what I think you should. Hang tight. We'll go to Kavanaugh's roadmap next. I'll be right back.
For over a century, FlexSteel has crafted seating with our signature Blue Steel Spring technology, delivering durability and ultimate comfort to enhance your everyday. From living rooms to bedrooms, our designs blend style with innovation to create furniture that feels as good as it looks and lasts for years to come. With a wide range of styles, fabrics, and finishes, FlexSteel makes it easy to find pieces that reflect your personal taste while withstanding all of life's moments. Thoughtful design, quality materials, and trusted construction come together to deliver comfort you can count on. FlexSteel is designed to create cohesive, comfortable spaces throughout your home. Whether you're relaxing after a long day, hosting friends, or spending time with family, FlexSteel is built in style to support you. From movie nights to quiet mornings, our pieces are made to hold up and hold memories for generations. Find furniture for every room in your house. Live your lifestyle. Browse our selection and find your local retailer today. Visit FlexSteel.com.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Now, for someone that needs to move quickly or something like a job transfer, well, what steps can you take to make sure that their home gets sold fast and for the most money?
Sean, that is an excellent question. We actually have three ways that we'll approach that. One is we actually as an office have what's called an instant offer. So if you need it sold fast, we can do it really fast. But the truth is if you want to maximize your selling price and get done quickly, then it actually means that you're going to want to sit down, identify a marketing plan, talk about what to do to prep your home for sale, and then be really clear on two things, your time frame and the price. Because those two things merging together is ultimately going to equal your outcome. So having that kind of conversation in advance will go a long ways.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Go online to ReddingHomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
Hey, welcome back to Beacon with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. We're going through the Supreme Court decision yesterday that caused Trump to go out and hold a press conference and basically just berate the Supreme Court. Whereas if I don't know that Trump's ever going to, I know Trump's never going to change his way of talking, but had the staff just sat down, had the Treasury Secretary, the Chief of Staff, and the others sat down, anytime a decision like this comes down, including the Solicitor General, the individual who argues the case before the Supreme Court on behalf of the administration, if they had just said, wait a minute, before you go to a press conference, let us just explain to you what this decision means and does not mean, that maybe he could have presented it a little differently, although knowing him, I'm not sure that anybody could have stopped him from screaming at the Supreme Court, which doesn't accomplish anything other than it causes those who already dislike Trump to dislike him even more. And then people like me who love his policies and think that he's doing a lot of the great things that need to be done kind of makes me shake my head and go, but, you know, we have midterm elections coming up and this isn't helping. Because I don't care what you think. I'm telling you from personal experience that inside the Beltway, everything, every single thing is about the next election, which is why I think that Republicans are being stupid when it comes to things like the SAVE Act. You know, go ahead. Throw it down and tell the Democrats we're going to vote. And if you want to filibuster, and filibuster all you want to, but we're going to vote on this. And as soon as you all finish talking and you all pass out and you got to go to the bathroom and you can't talk anymore, then we're going to have an up and down vote. And I think the reason they don't do this is because many Republicans don't want to pass the SAVE Act. It's always about the next election. It's always about the next power move. And so this is why I feel like I can come to you and just tell you the way it is. And whether you like what I'm saying or not doesn't make any difference to me, because I'm just telling you the way it really is inside the Beltway. So let's go back to the Kavanaugh dissent, because his dissent is pretty amazing. It's amazing because of how it's written, what he says, and that nobody's talking about it. As I said before the break, he disagreed with the majority, but he did something fascinating. He said, you know, this decision, probably, you know, you in the majority are probably not going to do anything by this to constrain the president's ability to order tariffs going forward. And then he explained why. And he outlined at least four that I can think of. Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act, going all the way back to 1962. That statute allows the president to impose tariffs on imports that threaten national security. Now, the Commerce Department has to do an investigation and make a determination. They could do that already. In fact, I would say shame on them if they haven't done that already when it comes to things like all the fentanyl precursors coming out of China. And in fact, Trump used that particular trade act heavily in his first term on steel and aluminum. So it's already underpinning the 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum and the 25% tariffs on automobiles. And it was untouched by yesterday's decision. Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974. That act allows the president to impose tariffs on countries that engage in unfair trade practices that are unjustifiable, unreasonable, or discriminatory that burden American commerce. Trump used it against China in his first term. Big time. Those tariffs are still in place. He could just increase them if he wants to, or add additional tariffs. Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974. Now, this one is specifically designed to address large and persistent trade deficits, which was literally one of the justifications that Trump used for his Liberation Day tariffs in the very first place. It allows for tariffs of up to 15% for up to 150 days. Oh, there's another one, too. Section 338 of the Tariff Act of 1930s. I skimmed through Kavanaugh's decision. That's the that comes out of the Smoot-Hawley era. That allows the president to impose tariffs on goods from countries that discriminate against U.S. commerce. Now, Secretary Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, had already been quietly preparing those tariffs as part of his plan B. And then Kavanaugh's summary was essentially this. Quote, the president checked the wrong statutory box. He should have checked one of these other boxes. Now, that's not a ringing endorsement of free trade. That's a dissent saying the result might have been the same either way. Now, let's talk about what actually happened after the ruling came down yesterday. Because the administration didn't curl up in a fetal position. In fact, they did just the opposite. They were screaming like a newborn. They were screaming like a newborn that had just been delivered and spat it on its butt and was screaming and hollering and trying to breathe in air. Trump held the press conference. And he called the ruling deeply disappointing. And he described the justices in the majority in terms that were, well, let's just say colorful. Now, I don't think he was wrong to be frustrated, but here's what else he said. The Supreme Court did not overrule tariffs. They merely overruled a particular use of IEEPA tariffs, close quote. And then he said he has, I've got methods, I've got statutes, I've got practices, and I've got authorities, as recognized by the entire court and Congress, that are even stronger than IEEPA tariffs. Yes! So why throw the hissy fit? And before the sun went down yesterday, he signed another executive order. It imposed a 10% global tariff. It was imposed under Section 122 of the Trade Act of 1974. It's effective next week. Certain goods got exempted, critical minerals, coinage metals, some vehicles, I think some energy products, but a 10% baseline tariff on essentially everything else. Still standing, still law, and it's still in effect. Now, yes, Section 122 does cap it at 15%, and it does have a 150-day clock, but Trump isn't just sitting on that. The trade representative, Jameson Greer, has already confirmed they're launching additional Section 301 investigations in the Commerce Department because that requires that the Commerce Department make a determination that it's in our national security interest to impose a tariff. So those two, Section 232 national security investigations are underway, or honestly, I bet some of them have already been concluded for multiple product categories. The 5 months that Section 122 buys those tariffs is the time to get all of the alternative authorities formally documented and in place. And Trump even himself put it this way. The alternative measures will actually increase the amount of money coming into the country. So let's think about the constitutional backdrop and why this is complicated. And let me give you a little constitutional context because I think that it matters. And quite frankly, I want you to understand this. Hang tight. I'll do that next. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
One in four tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
One in four was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
A message from Todd with Reading Online Marketing.
Here's the truth. Your competitors aren't smarter and they aren't better. Their marketing is.
Reading Online Marketing has years of experience and results backed by real data to put you on top. For maximum impact, ask about exclusive KCNR radio and digital marketing packages. Put your business everywhere your customers are.
We are local and can answer all your questions. Call me at 530-378-4060 or visit readingonlinemarketing.com.
Who says vaping is safer than cigarettes? Science does not support that belief. Vapes can contain a variety of chemicals, flavoring agents, cancer-causing elements, and other harmful substances. High levels of nicotine in some vapes can be more likely to lead to addiction, and chemical ingredients are not always listed accurately on vaping packages. Vaping can also damage your DNA, your heart, your lungs, and even your smile. Enough with the puff. Learn more at ul.org/vaping.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Looking to grow your business locally? Get your message heard loud and clear on KCNR Radio, serving all of Shasta County. Whether you run a small business, a local service, or have an event that needs buzz, KCNR's trusted hosts and loyal audience can help your brand stand out. Affordable packages, custom ads, and a voice that delivers results. Advertise smart, advertise local, advertise with KCNR Radio. Visit KCNR1460.com or call 530-605-4565.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Reading Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Reading Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
No.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. We were talking about this Supreme Court decision yesterday. And how everybody's running around with their heads on fire, and I don't understand why. I don't get it. I don't get it because, well, one, I happen to agree with the decision, and it's one of the few times in my life that I really think that the dissent written by Justice Thomas and concurred in with by Justice Alito, Kavanaugh writing separately for himself, I happen to disagree with Justice Thomas, which is very unusual for me. But that's why I'm going to give you a little constitutional context, because I think that it matters. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8, if you want to go look it up, it explicitly gives Congress the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, and it gives Congress the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations. So Congress, under the Constitution, has the power to impose tariffs. It is textually there. It is unambiguously there. But over the course of the 20th century, Congress handed huge chunks of that authority directly to the executive branch. The Trade Expansion Act of 1962, the Trade Act of 1974, those statutes represent Congress voluntarily delegating its tariff authority to the president. Now, in many cases, there are some carefully specified conditions. So what Trump tried to do with IEEPA was use an emergency statute, a statute that was designed for sanctions, assets, asset freezes, blocking financial transactions. Trump tried to use that as a catch-all tariff authority. And the court said, wait a minute, that's a bridge too far, because the statute doesn't even mention tariffs. And given the magnitude of what the president was claiming, which was unlimited tariffs on virtually any country in the world, you would need Congress to have said so clearly. That's what's called the major questions doctrine in constitutional law. A big policy, you have to have clear congressional authorization. But here's the irony that nobody's pointing out. By striking down IEEPA tariffs on the major questions doctrine, the court has essentially validated all the other statutes. Those are the ones where Congress did explicitly draft for tariff purposes. Because, like, take Section 232, for example. It expressly authorizes national security tariffs. Section 301 expressly authorizes unfair trade tariffs. Section 122 expressly authorizes balance of payment tariffs. So the court's logic actually strengthens the legal foundation for tariffs imposed under those statutes. Because Congress was doing exactly what the court said it needed to do, speaking clearly and unambiguously. So there you have it. So all of this gnashing of the teeth and the wringing of the hands and the hair on fire and everything else, everybody get the fire extinguisher out and calm down. Now, there is an actual mess out of this decision, but it doesn't have to do anything with the president's authority. The actual mess that is genuinely messy is a $100 billion plus question, and that is the question about the refunds. If we've already collected X number of dollars in refunds, the question now is, what do you do about that?
So, since Liberation Day, there's about $175 billion in tariff revenue that is now in limbo. Do you have to refund $175 billion?
Thank you, Peter. Very fair question. They take months and months to write an opinion, and they don't even discuss that point. We've taken in hundreds of billions of dollars, not millions, hundreds of billions of dollars. And so I said, well, what happens to all the money that we took in? It wasn't discussed. Wouldn't you think they would have put one sentence in there saying that keep the money or don't keep the money, right? I guess it has to get litigated for the next 2 years. So they write this terrible, defective decision, totally defective. It's almost like not written by smart people. And what they do, they don't even talk about that. Your question is very basic. That was the first question I asked also to make you feel good. I said, what about all the money that we've taken in? Sir, they don't discuss that. How crazy is that?
Well, it's not actually crazy at all. So let's walk through that refund question. As of mid-December, Customs and Border Patrol had collected about $133 billion IEEPA tariff revenue. The Penn Wharton School of Business projects that up to $175 billion could be subject to refund claims. And guess what? The Supreme Court, he's right, said absolutely nothing about it. Zero. The majority opinion was completely silent on the issue of refunds. Justice Kavanaugh, in his dissent, was not pleased at omission. He called the refund process a likely mess. And that's actually a quote from Justice Barrett at oral argument that he was citing. And he warned that the government, quote, may be required to refund billions of dollars to importers. But here's the complication. Importers generally have 180 days after their goods are liquidated by customs to file a protest and to request a refund. But many importers pass the cost of those tariffs on to you and me, the customers, their consumers. So the importer gets the refund, not the consumer who actually paid a higher price. Now, that's a political problem. And that's not something the court is going to fix. In other words, I would put it this way. While it's right for Kavanaugh to raise the refund question, like we ought to think practically about what this is going to mean, the court doesn't have the authority. It's outside their purview to answer that question. Because it's a political question, and the courts are not supposed to deal with political questions. So now the trade lawyers, just kind of generally speaking, as I kind of dig through the news stories, are now saying it could take anywhere from 12 to 18 months to sort that out. And the Court of International Trade in New York is going to be working through this for years. It's not a simple push a button and refund everybody situation. The administration has also kind of signaled that it intends to contest the scope of the refunds. Because the majority didn't order them, and Trump himself indicated they'd be litigating that issue too. So don't get excited thinking that you bought something that got imported from China or, I don't care, Malaysia or someplace else, and the price before the import, before you, the tariff was $1.95 and you paid $2.50 after the tariff and you want a 55-cent refund. It's not going to happen. But let me anticipate what you're going to hear from the other side, because I think you're going to hear a lot of it. And this gets to the real political issue. Argument number one, this is a major defeat for Trump's economic agenda. Really? Tell me what you mean by defeat. The tariff rate on all imports dropped back towards 7% from about 17% temporarily. By Tuesday, there's already a 10% global tariff back in place. Section 232 tariffs on steel, aluminum, autos, and a dozen other categories are entirely untouched. Section 301 China tariffs, untouched. The trade war with China, it's not over. The leverage is still there. What changed is the procedural vehicle. Again, I go back to my analogy. He went to the car rental lot at the airport, and he got in the wrong car. And the court said, wait a minute, you rented this car. You're authorized under your agreement to rent this car. You got in the wrong car. So the first argument's just dead in the water. Argument number two, the court protected the Constitution and the separation of powers. Now, this one I've got some sympathy for because Congress does have the constitutional tariff power. And the court was right to say that IEEPA, this particular statute, a sanctioned statute, not a tariff statute, should not be read to swallow the entire tariff code. That is a legitimate constitutional point. But note carefully. The court did not say that Congress can't delegate tariff authority. It just said that this statute didn't do that. Congress can act. And the alternative statutes that Kavanaugh enumerated in his dissent represent Congress already having done exactly what the court said needed to be done under the major questions doctrine. They specifically granted the president authority to impose tariffs in certain situations, and that's what he can go do now. And then the left wants to argue the trade deals that Trump made are now in jeopardy. Now, I think that's an interesting legal question because many of the bilateral trade deals that were struck in the past year, those were negotiated under the shadow of the IEEPA tariffs. Now, if those tariffs were illegal, what happens to those deals? That's where it gets complicated. Some deals might need to be renegotiated. And some foreign governments, if they're smart, might use that as leverage. But Trump's upcoming April visit to China, it now has an entirely different character because he's going to need to demonstrate that he still has a credible tariff threat. And now his task is to prove that the alternative authorities get him there. And I think he'll do it without question. So the bottom line, don't go away. That's next.
Yeah. This month, Pure Talk is honoring Jackson and Lincoln by offering unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month. Meanwhile, Big Wireless is honoring Benjamin Franklin by charging families hundreds of dollars for the same 5G service. What's up with that? Ben Franklin wasn't even a president. When you switch to Pure Talk, you'll be in business with an American wireless company that supports our vets in a big way and keeps all their customer service in this country. That's important. And you'll be on the same towers the big carriers use, so you'll get the same 5G service without the inflated price. So hang on to your Benjamins and switch to Pure Talk for a Jackson and a Lincoln. No contract, no hidden fees. Dial #250, say Micro, and you'll get 50% off your first month when you switch. That's #250, Micro, for an American wireless company that is truly unprecedented. Pure Talk.
Open now at Turtle Bay Museum, Thomas C. Mangelson, A Life in the Wild, featuring 40 of the legendary wildlife photographer's most powerful images captured in the wild. These iconic once-in-a-lifetime moments include polar bears dancing on Arctic ice, the salmon leaping straight into the jaws of a massive brown bear, landscapes from all seven continents, and much more. The A Life in the Wild tour is produced by David J. Wagner, LLC, and is on display at Turtle Bay Museum now through May 3rd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
This is Colonel Danny Gilman, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
this whole hullabaloo that the cabal is trying to feed you, that, oh my God, the economy, you know, Trump's dead, presidency's over, Supreme Court's ruled against him, it was 6-3, even some of those he's appointed ruled against him. Yes, because they were following the law. You know, the one question that keeps sticking in the back of my mind was, why would the administration use bad advice to use this particular statute when they have all the other options to use? They could have easily done all the other things as they did in the first administration. So I don't think that Trump was staffed well on this. And insofar as the refund's concerned, you're going to hear a lot about that.
Peter, go ahead.
Thank you, President Trump. So, since Liberation Day, there's about $175 billion in tariff revenue that is now in limbo. Do you have to refund $175 billion?
Thank you, Peter. Very fair question. They take months and months to write an opinion, and they don't even discuss that point. We've taken in hundreds of billions.
Let me just say this about that. They didn't discuss it because it's outside their purview. It would have been helpful if they had thought about just saying, we don't get to the issue of what to do next. We don't address the issue of refunds because that is beyond our authority. That is beyond our purview. That's not a legal issue raised in this case. And that's a political decision to be made by the other branches of government. So I do fault the court for not having at least anticipated that that would have been a question. They still wouldn't have answered it, but they could have made clear to the uninformed cabal that it's not within their purview.
Of dollars, not millions, hundreds of billions of dollars. And so I said, well, what happens to all the money that we took in? It wasn't discussed. Wouldn't you think they would have put one sentence in there saying that keep the money or don't keep the money, right? I guess
they couldn't have said that. That's not their decision. And in fact, Trump's probably right that it'll have to be litigated. In fact, I think it'll have to be litigated or it'll have to be renegotiated. He needs to come out forcefully next week and remind not just Americans, but he needs to remind all these foreign leaders that you're probably hearing from our news media, American news media, and you're probably hearing from your own foreign news media, your domestic news media, about how horrible this is for me. But let me set you straight. It is not. And it does not change my negotiation position or my negotiation advantage. So here's the bottom line. Here's the takeaway. I want you to say it to your friends. I want you to say it at the dinner table, to your coworkers. I want you to say it to anybody that raises this question. First, the Supreme Court did not say the tariffs are unconstitutional. It said that this statute, IEEPA, wasn't the right law to impose tariffs. Got it? Two, the president has multiple other trade laws that have explicit congressional authorization that allow him to impose tariffs. And in some cases, he's already using those statutes. This is the major questions doctrine. I don't ask you to remember that. But it basically says that if Congress is going to do something like delegate some of their own constitutional authority to the executive branch, they need to be explicit and spell it out. And in these other statutes, they have done exactly that. So remember, one, the court didn't say that tariffs are unconstitutional. And two, we know that there are other explicit congressional authorizations that allow him to impose tariffs. Three, a 10% global tariff is already signed and takes effect, I think, on Tuesday at, I don't know, midnight or something. So he's already imposed another 10% tariff. Four, I think they have quietly, and if they haven't, they've gotten bad legal advice and bad political advice. But my guess is, understanding how the White House works, that they have spent months preparing exactly for this outcome. Because they didn't know which way the court was going to go. I think they could have guessed, because one of the first questions right at oral argument to the Solicitor General from the Chief Justice was, but isn't this a tax? Doesn't it act as a tax? And the Solicitor General had to admit, yes, it is. It's a tax. It's a form of a tariff. Bingo. Right there. Okay, let's go look at the law. It's not in the law anywhere that says you can do this. So I think they've been preparing for this outcome for months. There is a plan B. And actually, I think there's a plan B, C, D, E, and probably F. Fifth, the real legal drama that's going forward isn't whether tariffs exist. It's really going to be the fight over the somewhere between $130 and $175 billion refund, which will, I believe, grind through the courts for years. So this isn't the end of the tariff era. It's probably not even a speed bump. What it is, of course, is just a course correction. The administration was told, hey, go back, get in the right car, use the right tools. They already have. All we need to do now is just watch what happens next. But I would just remind everybody, when I talk about the cabal, I do include everybody. Now, as I walked into my studio this morning, Fox News was on, and they had Guy Benson on. And I know Guy, he's a good guy, I think he's smart. And he was talking about pretty much kind of what I'm talking about. This isn't the big deal that everybody else in the media, both Fox News and others, are making. It's not even a temporary setback that, oh, you use this statute, you can't use that one. You have to use a different statute. The court ruled against him, and within 4 hours, he'd already signed a new tariff order under a different statute. I don't know about you, but when Trump said a few months ago on Truth Social that if the court rules against us, we're screwed, that doesn't look very screwed to me. Everybody take a deep breath. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
This is how we do.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Ready to feel healthy this year? Find everything you need at LoseWeightNow.co. Orderly Meds gives you access to proven GLP-1 medications at a lower cost, backed by real medical professionals. And yes, they ship in discreet private packaging, because it's nobody's business how you're improving yourself. And your journey deserves dignity, privacy, and confidence. Get started today at LoseWeightNow.co. Individual results may vary. Visit LoseWeightNow.co and get started today. That's LoseWeightNow.co.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news at Town Hall. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Donna Warner reports on how American women are crushing it at the Milan Cortina Games.
When the day started Saturday, American women, not even counting mixed events, had 6 gold medals and 15 overall. Bobsledder Kaylee Humphreys Armbruster, a bronze winner in the monobob, says Team USA is crushing it.
It really took a team to get here, and so I'm very proud of the performance that I put on, of my team.
And in alpine skiing, Alana Myers-Taylor with a gold in the monobob.
To be able to have my name up there with Bonnie Blair, like, it doesn't even make sense to me.
With one more day of competition, more than 40 American women will leave the Olympics with at least one medal. I'm Donna Warder.
The U.S.-Canada showdown for Olympic gold in men's hockey is back on. Jack Hughes scored 2 goals, including one with a highlight reel individual effort, and the Americans rolled into the final by routing Slovakia last night. They'll meet tournament favorite and top-seeded Canada tomorrow for the title. As the midterm elections approach, GOP strategist Aaron McGuire advises Republican candidates to remain laser-focused on pocketbook issues.
Republicans need to be ramping up right now. It's tax season, friends, and what do you know? You will see a bigger tax refund. You will.
Just one of the benefits, she says, of the president's policies, the administration easing limits on coal plants for emitting mercury and other toxins.
It's the Trump administration's latest effort to boost the fossil fuel industry by paring back clean air and water rules. Toxic emissions from coal and oil-fired plants can harm the brain development of young children and contribute to heart attacks and other problems in adults. The plants are also a major source of greenhouse gas emissions that drive climate change. The EPA announced the repeal of the Titan Mercury and Air Toxic Standards Rule at a massive coal plant next to the Ohio River in Louisville, Kentucky. Bill Alexander, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. Do you feel stupid for buying a timeshare? Don't. It's not your fault. You were most likely told you could rent it, and it was a great financial investment. And the deal was available today only. If this happened to you, contact your resort or Wesley Financial Group for help today.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-242-3131. 800-242-3131.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
5 European countries have announced a new program to produce low-cost air defense systems and autonomous drones using Ukrainian expertise. It's been hard won over the past 4 years as they battle off that invasion from Russia. Here's Charles de Ledesma.
Friday's initiative of the E5 nations, that's France, Poland, Germany, the UK and Italy, comes as one of many European efforts to bolster defence along their borders, like a drone war with Russia and Ukraine, to better detect, track and intercept violations of Europe's airspace. Both Moscow and Kyiv have cutting-edge drone warfare capabilities forged in the grim laboratory of war, where battlefield innovations have rewritten modern battle tactics. UK Minister Luke Pollard says nations are investing together in the next generation of air defence and autonomous systems to strengthen NATO's shield. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Economist Steve Moore says that President Trump's policies are helping the U.S. economy. More from townhall.com. A ransomware attack forcing a hospital system to close its doors.
The University of Mississippi Medical Center has closed its nearly 36 clinics in the state and canceled elective procedures for a second day following a ransomware attack. University officials are trying to determine the extent of the attack and restore network systems they took down as a precaution. They say the shutdown could last for days. Vice Chancellor Lou Ann Woodward says the attackers have communicated with the university, but she's not elaborating. The university is working with the FBI. I'm Mike Hempen.
Congressman Chip Roy of Texas says a global effort to promote Islam is gaining traction.
You've got a political, ideological movement that is very clearly a part of the Islamist network, right? The Muslim Brotherhood. A lot of people that are trying to push that, not just as a religious doctrine or faith.
More on these stories at town.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marie Salas, owner of Healthwise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
Going about their business. Well, if you've looked at my timeline or you've been on X at all, you've seen these throngs, and I do mean throngs, of Muslims blocking out. Now, Times Square has, over the years, become blocked to everything except pedestrian traffic. Now, the cross streets, most of the cross streets are still open to automobiles. But Broadway and the others shut down, pedestrian traffic only. These photographs show throngs of Muslims with their prayer rugs taking up the entire street, taking up almost the entirety of Times Square, depending on which photograph you look at and the perspective and the focal length of the lens they're using. But it looks like just they've taken up the entirety of Times Square. So there's a controversy that we're ignoring about Islamic no-go zones, not just in New York, not just in Seattle, not just in different parts of the country, but in the West in general. And that issue of a no-go zone follows that precise pattern that I was talking about. You get a report, you have a denial, then you get some sort of euphemism. The phrase itself, a no-go zone, becomes a contested term. Well, what do you mean a no-go zone? Well, you can contest the term all you want to, but the underlying activity, the actuality, the phenomenon, however you want to describe it, is not contested. So let's start with definitions. What's meant by a no-go zone? The core idea of a no-go zone is pretty simple. A no-go zone is an area, usually within a municipality, a city, where ordinary civic norms do not fully apply, where the authority of the state is attenuated or maybe completely kept out entirely, and where non-members of the dominant local community are discouraged or they're intimidated or they're somehow effectively excluded from going into that area. In the specific context at issue of a no-go zone, the claim is that there are some Muslim-majority neighborhoods in Western countries in which non-Muslims, law enforcement, or for that matter, any other outsiders face practical barriers to entry. Those barriers are either enforced through intimidation, social coercion, or the emergence of parallel legal norms informed by Sharia law. Now, one might object at once. Aren't there statutes declaring such areas off limits? No, and that's precisely the point. The phenomenon of no-go zones, if it exists, is de facto rather than de jure. A government is not going to announce that it has ceded its authority to a group of Muslims. Instead, authority erodes gradually. The language begins to soften. The language becomes more acceptable. Officials adopt new categories. But while all of that's going on, the reality of a no-go zone remains. Doing a little bit of LexisNexis research, you find that the phrase no-go zone appeared prominently beginning in the early 2000s, predominantly in France. In April of 2002, writing from Paris, David Ignatius, Washington Post, New York Times, described the Islamic North African suburbs that had become no-go zones at night, and he linked the label to crime, unrest, and racial tension. But the term did not arise from fringe blogs. It entered mainstream discourse simply as a way of describing urban districts where the ordinary assurances of safety and state control, state oversight, where there was some rule of law that was administered, you know, within the French Republic, was diminished. That's early 2002. By 2005, reporting during the French riots referenced domestic intelligence assessments that the cops would not venture into about 150 such areas unless they had significant reinforcements. In 2002, the Washington Times reported on Antwerp describing attempts to create no-go areas for cops in immigrant districts. So the label was beginning to spread, not because of ideology, but simply because others were kind of struggling. Like, we see a pattern. We're not quite sure how to describe it. And then finally in 2008, the warning about no-go zones became pretty sharp, fairly well delineated. The Church of England, a bishop by the name of Michael Nazir Alayi, stated that Islamic extremists had created areas in Britain that were too dangerous for non-Muslims to enter. And in describing that, he spoke of physical attacks on those that were of different race or different faith, and he spoke directly of attempts to reshape public life through calls to prayer and the wider application of Sharia norms. Just before we go to break, in one of the videos about the Muslims overtaking Times Square, If you listen closely, you can hear the Arabic call to prayer, the Islamic call to prayer, in the background, in New York City. And you're going to tell me that no-go zones aren't real? Hang tight. I'll be right back.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. Be sure and subscribe to the podcast. Whatever podcast app you use, doesn't make any difference. Just search for this program, The Situation with Michael Brown. The Situation with Michael Brown. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review that helps us with the algorithm. And that will automatically download to your app all 5 days of the weekday program plus the weekend program. So go hit that subscribe button for The Situation with Michael Brown. So we're talking about no-go zones. And how, once again, if you look across the pond, you look across the Atlantic, you'll realize that Europe is actually giving us a warning. And we're not paying any attention to it. So we've gone from 2000, 2002, when David Ignatius first started reporting on no-go zones in France, to 2008, when one of the bishops from the Church of England said that there were Islamic extremists that had created areas in Britain that were just simply too dangerous for non-Muslim to enter. And he described that there were physical attacks on those that, if you were of a different race or a different faith, or if you were trying to reshape public life. And then political figures started to echo some concerns about voluntary apartheid, about closed societies that were demanding immunity from criticism. We see that all the time in all kinds of so-called societies or communities. Oh, you can't criticize that. You can't criticize this. You can't criticize them. You can't criticize whatever because, well, you're some sort of phobe or you're a racist or you're anti-something. Now, all of these people that are doing this are not just, you know, freelancers. They're not just ordinary people. Everyone I've described to you so far have been senior public officials reacting to what I would describe as concrete developments. Yet, what happens? The denial follows. In Europe, and quite frankly in this country too, the left insisted that the very phrase no-go zone was somehow Islamophobic. They argued that that kind of labeling stigmatized immigrant communities and was inflaming prejudice. And there were even broadcasters that would retract segments that use the term. And then the mayor of Paris threatened legal action in 2015 after American television described parts of Paris as Muslim-only no-go zones. That rhetorical dispute obscured a more interesting fact. European governments themselves had already developed official categories that captured much of the same reality. France's zones urbaines, sensibles, were defined by statute as part of municipal policy. In 2006, somewhere around 4 million people lived in these sensitive urban areas. That's about 7% of the entire population of France, almost 10%. Those districts, delineated by the Paris government, they had higher unemployment, they had lower employment rates, and they had higher concentrations of immigrant residents. And then later, France introduced what was called zones de secure priority, priority security zones. Those were areas, zones, where delinquency and incivilities were described as, are you ready? Structurally entrenched, often within just the entire sensibilities of that area. Coordinated state action was required precisely because baseline order had begun to erode. And officials, well, they didn't call them no-go zones. They didn't need to because operationally, that's how they acted. That's how they were operated. So it didn't make any difference what you called them. It's what they were. It's what you could or could not do, where you could or could not go. So operationally, I don't care what you called it. Oh, it's just, it's the Brentwood neighborhood. Oh, really? Well, the Brentwood neighborhood, from a purely operational standpoint, doesn't have any Los Angeles police officers in it. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office isn't there. And if you're not Muslim, you can't go there. And by the way, they operate with their own court system. The operational implications in Paris were clear. Then let's go to Sweden. Excuse me. 2015. For the past 11 years, the National Police Authority has published analytical reports that identify actual Islamic no-go zones, and they describe them as vulnerable areas and particularly vulnerable areas. So in that framework that they established back in 2015, particularly vulnerable areas were described as places where policing could be really difficult or almost impossible. Why? Because of threats of systemic violence, low participation in the legal process as a result of Sharia law. And those Swedish reports referenced actual parallel social structures and forms of extremism, including a strong Islamic influence that restricted the rights and systematic infringements on religious freedom. Sweden, everybody's always telling me Sweden's the model of how we can do everything, health care to freedom to the way to live, everything. Really? Sweden's gone. Just gone. In 2019, 4 years after they acknowledged that, hey, we have these so-called no-go zones, the police counted 60 such Islamic no-go zones that met the threshold of serious criminal impact. Now, legally, these are intelligence categories. But practically, what they do is they describe neighborhoods where the state's authority is impaired, if not outright excluded, and they have an alternative norm by which they operate. What would you describe that? I mean, isn't that for a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu or a Sikh or anybody, a Catholic or a Protestant or an atheist or an agnostic? Isn't that a place where you can't go? Where it's operating within a Republican small R form of government. It's operating within a state, and by state I mean like a country, but it's operating independently, its own system and norms and everything else. That's a no-go zone. Denmark's ghetto and later parallel society frameworks went even further, incorporating non-Western population thresholds. This is Denmark's official way of looking at it. They incorporated non-Western population thresholds. They also added to that socioeconomic and crime indicators and the legal designations of these de facto Islamic no-go zones actually started getting so bad that it started to draw scrutiny at the European Union level for potential non-discrimination concerns. How twisted is that? But the very existence of a statutory framework for identifying Islamic no-go zones underscores that the issue is not imaginary. The United Kingdom and Germany both have prosecuted vigilante Sharia patrols, self-styled enforcers who declared certain streets Muslim areas and were harassing non-believers. Wow. I think we've got no-go zones in Europe. And we have the denials. Hang tight. Take it one step further. Next.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
When was the last time you watched your home movies?
Disasters strike unexpectedly. Every year, American families lose the one thing they'd run back into a burning building for, their family's memories. Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Adam. We started Legacy Box to help save your family's most important recorded moments so you don't have to worry.
Load Legacy Box with your old movies, film reels, and shoeboxes of photos.
We work our digitizing magic, converting those memories right to the cloud so they're safe and accessible forever.
It's fast, we always send your originals back, and it's done right here in the USA.
Over a million families have trusted Legacy Box. Better Homes and Garden, Real Simple, and Inc. Magazine are all talking about Legacy Box.
New York Times columnist David Pogue says, "Have them digitized. I wish I'd done it sooner." Take action. Save your family's memories today with Legacy Box.
Go to legacybox.com/keepsake to get an incredible 50% off your Legacy Box. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 50% off while supplies last. Legacybox.com/keepsake.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Ready? Online marketing. Winning online.
When you search for your business on Google, where do you show up? Page 2? Page 3? Nowhere at all? Meanwhile, your competitors are getting those calls. You need Reading Online Marketing. Since 2010, Reading Online Marketing has been helping local businesses rank on Google, get found by customers, and win online. Need a website? We build it. Need digital ads that actually work? We manage them. Want to rank higher on Google and grow your social media? We handle it all. Here's the big difference. We know the Reading market. We know exactly what it takes to outrank your competition and get you found first. We'll show you where you stand and what it'll take to win. ReadingOnlineMarketing.com or call 530-378-4060 for your free evaluation.
Reading Online Marketing. Winning online.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Brown, glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. If you like what we do on the weekend, you ought to listen during the weekday. You can listen weekdays from 9 to noon Mountain Time on your iHeart app. Set a preset for a station in Denver. Call letters are KOA, KOA. You can find it at 94.1 FM or 850 AM. And we broadcast Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Mountain Time on KOA. Set that preset, and then you can stream us live during the week. So back to the no-go zones. Europe, once again, is not showing us what's coming to America. I think Europe has been showing us what is in America. As I said before the break, both the United Kingdom and Germany have actually prosecuted these vigilante Sharia patrols who are self-styled kind of enforcers who have actually declared certain streets as Muslim areas and then are harassing any non-believer that's there. They actually have courts that impose fines, actual imprisonment, custodial sentences. Now, this shows you two things at the same time. First, any attempts at micro-level no-go enforcement have and are occurring. Second, the state sometimes pushes back. Which what? Well, that proves that Islamic no-go zones do, in fact, exist. Now, if you're a skeptic like me, you might respond, well, that crime and social fragmentation does not equal Sharia governance. And that would be correct, except not every vulnerable area is governed by religious law. But the steel man version of the argument does not require any sort of caricature. It requires only recognition of the recurring mechanism. Large-scale Muslim Islamic migration combined with weak, if any, assimilation at all, a concentration of the settlement, that then what? That generates neighborhoods in which social norms diverge sharply from national norms, national laws, and in the case of you, I would just say American norms, American law. And if the majority in those kinds of areas regard certain behaviors as forbidden, that begins the whole social peer pressure. So a convenience store selling alcohol, it'll close because of community pressure. A dog owner walking through the neighborhood faces hostility. A street preacher distributing Christian scripture encounters harassment. Just a few days ago, I went to a neighborhood grocery store, and it took me a while to find it, but I could hear someone preaching loudly, didn't have a bullhorn, but they were preaching somewhere in the parking lot of the grocery store. And I was just curious. I kept looking and walking, and oh, I finally found them. They were standing in between the parking area of the cars, and they had a box there full of Bibles, and they were preaching and giving away Bibles. And I mean, some people stop, but most people just let it be. You think that would happen in a Islamic no-go zone? No. So he's exercising in a public space, some young black man preaching the gospel, believing what he's doing to evangelize, and being met, you know, with some pleasant greetings and mostly being ignored. So a street preacher like him distributing Christian scripture is going to encounter harassment, if not outright violence. And over time, you see that happen. You understand what the consequences are. You get the hint. And the area becomes informally homogenous. One American News had a report recently, and the chyron reads, Muslim community patrols have New York City residents alarmed.
Vice President Noor Rabah. The group currently has 30 members, but plans on rapidly expanding to cover the entire city. He describes the Muslim patrols like a neighborhood watch, but on steroids, with members dressed like police officers and driving cars identical to police squad cars.
See? This is, think about that cycle. So here's a report. Oh, a denial. But how can you deny that the cars are look like white New York City patrol cars? They have a shield on it. They have the initials MCP, which you might mistake if you're just glancing for something about police. It actually stands for Muslim Community Patrol. In New York City, driving cars that look almost identical to New York PD patrol cars. Wow.
Residents say they're uncomfortable with the patrols, which they describe as being similar to Sharia police. Others have raised doubts about the purpose of the patrols, saying New York's police department is already very diverse, and their only job is to patrol the city's streets and protect people from harassment or crime. So why does there need to be a Muslim group tasked with the same job as the police? Even other Muslims have raised questions about the need for the patrols, with residents expressing fears this is just another form of Sharia law enforcement. Similar groups can already be seen in other major European cities in Denmark, Germany, France, Sweden, and Britain. These patrols have been going on for years, and a CNN report caught Muslims from a patrol in London harassing residents. In Whitechapel, one man can be heard insulting a gay man, calling him offensive names, and telling him he wasn't welcome in a Muslim area. Others denounce residents for drinking, claiming this is a Muslim area and alcohol is not permitted. They also harassed a woman as she was crossing the street, warning her that her short skirt was not allowed in Muslim areas. And now, with the arrival of these Muslim patrols to New York City, Americans are becoming worried they'll fall under the same harassment for not following Islamic practices.
How? How in the hell are we allowing this to occur in this country? It's truly shocking. The final stage is not always going to be a formal Sharia court. It could be something more subtle, more discreet. Police will enter only with reinforcements, or witnesses might decline to cooperate, or businesses, just like with the mob, will pay protection to the local Islamic gangs that are aligned with the religious authorities. Women will alter their dress or conduct just to avoid confrontation. Oh, there's public order. It exists. But it's maintained by a mix of criminal and religious actors rather than by a neutral state. And we're going to allow that to occur here?
So I made a simple statement. If I have to choose between having my dog and you living here and taking my dog away, the choice isn't hard. You can leave and go home. And the fact of the matter is the world went crazy. And what's fascinating is all the Democrats that have attacked me, not a single one has said you have the right to own a dog. They are all coming down on you can lead your dog to slaughter if that's what we have to do to make Muslim immigrants happy in the United States. So I made a.
That's Congressman Randy Fine from New York. Now, the U.S. context may be slightly different. I don't think that really any American city totally mirrors the scale of certain European districts that we've read and know about. But the warning signs are there. Dearborn, Michigan, Hamtramck, Michigan, Cedar Riverside, neighborhood of Minneapolis, often called what? Little Mogadishu. Those are frequently cited in no-go narratives. But fact checkers will tell you, oh, that Sharia does not formally replace U.S. law. And, of course, that's true. But the question is narrower than that. Are there Muslim-majority neighborhoods where the social norms effectively limit speech, limit commerce, or religious expression by outsiders? The answer is definitively yes. Proof?
And not violate the religion of Islam by selling and distributing products that are against the religion, because we should love what Allah loves and we should hate what Allah hates. This is what we're here
for. By the way, there are carrying signs. This says gambling, liquor, pork, outlawed.
And little by little, one by one, we're going to be visiting all of the stores in the neighborhood, particularly the inner city neighborhoods, where the religion of Islam is ignored.
Why? Why are we tolerating this? Why? Consider a recent Dearborn City Council meeting. There was a Christian minister objecting to renaming Warren Avenue after Osama Sablani, publisher of the Arab American News. On what basis? Citing past praise for Hezbollah. The mayor? Oh, the mayor responds by labeling the minister an Islamophobe, declaring him unwelcome in our city. No ordinance barred him from entry. It's the symbolism that matters. When an elected official tells a citizen he is unwelcome in his own city for just voicing dissent, you've drawn a boundary. It's informal, but it's a real boundary. Very, very real.
I mean, Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You're an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you're not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city. Because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
Hezbollah
doesn't believe in coexistence. I want you to think about that next time you see the coexistence bumper sticker. Because coexistence does not mean coexistence. I'll be right back.
You know that chair you sit in for the game and somehow wake up in hours later? That's the Zecliner by FlexSteel. This isn't just a recliner. It's a sleep chair built for real comfort. The Zecliner smoothly reclines into a zero gravity position, giving you the support you need whether you're watching the late game, taking a quick nap, or sleeping through the night. FlexSteel combines the comfort of a premium recliner with ergonomic support designed for long periods of rest, not just sitting. From your head and shoulders to your legs and lower back, the Zecliner is built to help your body relax the right way. It's perfect for movie nights, overnight guests, or anyone who wants the flexibility of a chair that truly does more. And because it's FlexSteel, you get durable craftsmanship, smooth motion, and lasting quality you can count on. Watch in it, relax in it, sleep in it. The FlexSteel Zecliner. Your seat, your sleeper, your comfort zone. Find it at FlexSteel retailers nationwide at zecliner.com/Dan Patrick.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Rocky Patel Emerald. Coming in at number 6 on Cigar Aficionado's Top 25 with a 95 rating, this box-pressed cigar offers great combustibility, a smooth draw, and delicate flavors of ground coffee, hickory, leather, and spice. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Michael Brown, glad to have you with me. Imagine being a citizen of your town, and you're concerned about no-go zones. So the mayor of Dearborn wants to name a street in honor of Osama Sablani, a supporter of Hamas and Hezbollah. So a Christian, a local resident, Edward Barham, objects during a city council meeting. And the mayor responds this way.
Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You're an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city. Because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
I love the left for this reason. The way they bastardize the language. I want to plant in your head the next time you see the coexistent bumper sticker to realize that, oh, they mean exactly the opposite. They don't want to coexist because here's Mayor Abdullah Ahmed, who wants a citizen of his town to move out because he considers him to be his Islamophobe. Because they're going to name a street after somebody who's a supporter of Hamas and Hezbollah. Wow. Now, I know that critics will argue that, well, this is isolated. It's not territorial exclusion. What is it then? Patterns matter more than anecdotes. In Sweden, police describe particularly vulnerable areas where parallel structures and Islamic fundamentalist influence restrict rights. In France, you got priority security zones that require coordinated state intervention because of the entrenched Islamic control. United Kingdom and Germany, self-appointed Sharia patrols have attempted to police behavior. Why then? The insistence that this phenomenon of no-go zones is a myth. The left's replacement migration to offset declining native birth rates, never put to a vote. The narrative of successful multicultural integration is politically indispensable, and quite frankly, it's just a bunch of bullcrap. To admit that certain neighborhoods evolve into parallel Islamic societies governed in part by Sharia norms is to admit the failure of any sort of integration or assimilation policy. So instead, it's just easier for the left to reframe the issue as you're just a bigot. You're an Islamophobe. Instead of just confronting the reality and the structural failure of our society to protect itself. Labeling an area no-go zone, sure, it can stigmatize residents who reject extremism but are merely trying to conform. But that's a serious moral cost. Denying real problems imposes a different cost. Because it prevents early intervention. It discourages honest discussion. It leaves a moderate Muslim trapped between the radicals and a state that's unwilling to acknowledge the radicals' influence. Now, in this country, is it embryonic or is it well-seeded? Now, our cities are not Europe yet. Police still patrol. Courts still function. But the mechanism that took place in Europe takes place everywhere here. Concentrated Islamic migration, weak if any assimilation, cultural separation, then social enforcement. That's what we call the slippery slope. It begins with pressure on businesses that sell forbidden products. There they are protesting. No liquor. No pork. Really? Huh. I had some sausage this morning, and tonight I'll probably have a little liquor, too. And then, you want to discourage me and my two Leonbergers? or you want to discourage the young black man preaching out in front of my local grocery store, bite my ass. It's not going to happen. Because if we allow it to, it will advance to informal Sharia compliance in public life. And then finally, you'll have our legal authorities adjusting their policies and their policing strategies. They'll adjust everything for their own safety, and that will in turn reinforce the perception that that area is distinct and you don't go there. And if you can't go there, that is a no-go zone. We don't have to follow this path, but we have to talk about it. If we can't name a problem, you can't solve it. I've just named it for you. Now we need to solve it. And we solve it by talking about it. Reject Sharia. Protect speech and commerce in every neighborhood. We must demand assimilation. That's the price of becoming a citizen in this country. You must assimilate. Now, if we wait until we degenerate as much as Paris or Berlin or London have, then our collapse will be inevitable just as it has been in Europe. The erosion, of course, is gradual. But by the time the euphemism replaces denial, the ground has shifted underneath us. Now, I would imagine for most of you, this conversation was not uncomfortable. But I guarantee you that for a lot of people that may hear it later on, or you may tell them about it, they'll find it very uncomfortable. But once again, this is the reality of the world that we live in. This is the reality of mayors that actually say to their constituents.
I mean, Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You're an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city. Because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
Name the problem. No-go zones, and address it. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even porky or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013, 800-444-2013, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 taxpaying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.